3, 2, 1. Welcome to the After Hour Sessions podcast. This is your host, D-Rock, and today I'm joined by someone I've been looking forward and so excited to speaking with, who has just been taking the adult entertainment industry by storm and just has such a unique perspective and is really just creating her own lane. And so I'm just excited to talk and hear more about her story and her journey. Give it up for the amazing Adrina Winters. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for such an amazing introduction.
Oh, yeah, it was. Hey, it's well-deserved. I just try to speak the truth.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. So I always like to kind of start, you know, with people's, you know, their, like, I guess their origin story of just what led you to finding the adult entertainment industry?
Yeah, so for me, I did one of those like makeover photo shoots for my 21st birthday, and the photos came out pretty good, so I popped them online on like an online modeling portfolio, and it just sort of escalated from there, really. I just got approached by more and more photographers, and then I got approached by a Top Shelf magazine. And then from there, I got approached by a porn studio in the Midlands. And I did consider it for a moment. I was like, oh, I don't know. Do I want to do this? And I was like, why not? So, yeah, I went for it.
No, that's interesting. So now, were you always kind of, I like to say, I guess, curious, like, about you know, sex or BDSM? Or were you more vanilla before you had those photo shoots?
No, I don't think I was ever very vanilla. yeah, I guess I've never really done things because it was expected of me or anything like that. Like, if I was curious about something or I wanted to try something, I would just do it rather than worrying about what society might think.
Right, right. No, so, okay, so that's cool. So you were someone who always kind of, even like growing up, you forged your own path, but you were interested about different, you know, types of a kink and fetish?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, now, were you always, like, what kind of stood out to you? Like, what always had kind of had your interest, you know, before you got into the industry?
Yeah, so it's quite interesting, really, because I would very much consider myself more a dom or a top now. But certainly when I first started exploring the fetish world, it was definitely more from a bottom. But I kind of think that sometimes makes sense. Like, sometimes it's good to figure things out from the sort of passive role and learn from other people and then kind of figure out what works and what you like and what's good, and then kind of feel your way from there. So for me, I started off really interested in bondage and latex and those sorts of things. I'd go to like a lot of fetish clubs and just kind of explore and see what people were doing, and yeah, it was cool.
No, that's awesome. Because I'm sure you probably get the questions way more than I do, but even in the past few years, like doing the podcast, people ask, like, how, you know, they're new to, you know, kink, fetish, whatever, and they ask, how did you, like, how do I figure out what I like? And I know why they ask it, I understand, but it's kind of tough, like, and I feel like your answer is perfect. Like, you have to be patient with yourself and kind of explore and figure out what does work best for you.
Yeah, I think people are too easily, like, pigeonholed, and I think there's too much judgment if people do change their mind and like, oh, actually no, maybe I'm not so into that, and maybe I want to go try this instead. Like, I feel like sometimes it can be a little bit of an unforgiving community where they're like, no, you said you were this and you must be that forever, but no, fuck that, just try things, and if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, try something else.
right. I agree. I always go back to that. I've heard so many people say that quote, but is it better to be right or better to be consistent? And it's better to be right. So whatever works for you at that time.
Yeah, I've never heard that expression before, but I like it. I agree with it very much so.
Right. Awesome. Awesome. So, from just on the outside, when I watched your videos and getting to even do some more research to prepare for this, it seems like the you've taken just so naturally to being a dom. Was that an easy transition for you, or was that kind of a struggle at first?
I think it was only tricky because of my fan base. I think because I started off doing studio porn where I was sort of cast in roles according to what they wanted rather than what suited me, it just attracted a certain type of fan that sort of, I don't know, I guess typically the stereotypical scene is quite degrading to women. So then to try and switch that, I did get quite a lot of backlash, I guess, from some of my followers, but it's been enough time now that most of those have unfollowed me now, and I have people that are more on my wavelength now following me. So it's good. It's expected to be expected, I guess, when you're kind of transitioning into different niches or whatever.
Okay, and how was it? Because I know you started off with photo shoots, and then you went to being approached by certain people, like producers. How has it been, like, creating content, like in front of a camera? How was that transition for you?
So sorry to be on set.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really overthink it. And my first scene was like quite a big production. Like there was quite a big crew, and it was a spoof boy band documentary in like a huge sports hall where I was cast as the choreographer, and so I was teaching a new routine to the boy band. So it was quite big. And yeah, even though I had no experience, I found it quite easy just to like zone out of all of the people around me and just focus on the guy that I was shooting the scene with. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I just quite naturally wasn't fazed.
No, that's huge. And I think it shows, like, you kind of it helps, like, I to really thrive in the industry. You have to have that mindset of just being adventurous and kind of not caring what other people think.
Yeah.
So I know you're a femdom, but you've got humiliation, foot fetish, ass worship, pegging. Like, how has it been kind of being able to, because so many people, like you said earlier, kind of will want to pinpoint you, but how has it been for you, like, kind of dividing up these different niche content and being able to create all this different content?
Yeah, so for me, it just sort of came about quite organically almost. I think because I developed such a reputation in my sex scenes for being a size queen and shooting scenes with like bigger, like dominant guys, that the types of fans that I was attracting were submissive guys that liked that they couldn't live up to that. What word am I looking for? My brain's gone asleep a little bit. But yeah, they couldn't live up to that sort of expectation. And as a result, they would request sort of custom videos or content that did include pegging or more humiliation and that kind of stuff. So it was mostly just the fans. Listening to the fans, especially like on OnlyFans and stuff, where I'm in the DMs and I'm speaking to them, and just listening to them and what they'd like to see from me. So yeah, it just sort of happened quite organically, really. It was yeah, all kind of works quite seamlessly together.
No, that's awesome. What I'm not sure if you know it offhand, but what would you say is your most popular content that you shoot that fans kind of request the most?
Yeah, so I do know this because I'm very geeky and I like to check all the stats on a monthly basis.
I have too.
So my biggest, most popular clips are penis comparison videos where I have like a really hung guy and then I have a guy with a really small dick. And then I just sit there and I compare them. And they are my most popular videos.
Okay, that's cool. Wow. All right. That I'll be honest, that was not the answer I was expecting, but that's cool. That's interesting.
Yeah, I found it very interesting as well. Because yeah, you'd expect it to be the crazy gangbangs or whatever, but no, it's just me sat fully clothed comparing penises. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'll be honest. I really didn't think that would be it. <that's>... Okay.
I can send you the screenshots to prove it.
Yeah, I believe you. I believe you. I just, I guess that always, I always fascinates me with like the mindset. I don't know if like the fan, if they're picturing like, oh, if they were the one who's more hung, like the more hung guy, or if they just kind of, they picture themselves as the guy who's not, and they kind of put themselves in that role. It's always kind of curious to me, like,
yeah, you know. I think for me, I definitely attract the guys that like the humiliation side of it. So yeah, they would definitely put themselves in the shoes of the smaller penis guy.
So was that kind of an adjustment for you? Like, because I feel like even if you're not like a fan of psychology, like when you're in this kind of field, you're in a way like a psychologist, because you're kind of thinking about the mindset of either the person.
Yeah.
So was that kind of an adjustment to kind of think like, oh, like you like being humiliated, or was it just kind of like easy just to kind of go with it?
I guess I've always just been really interested in kind of figuring people out and what makes them tick, and never really having any judgment for that. Like, even if it was something that maybe I didn't personally relate to, like if I could talk to someone enough to understand them and where they're coming from, then I would enjoy helping them with that.
Okay. So it's just kind of so I think that's also one thing that, you know, you try to see what like connects, because everyone's so different. But I think it's just being a curious person, being like interested in other people, like really does help when you're in this.
Yeah, definitely.
So I know you have a lot of tattoos that you're known for. And I think the tattoo is such a cool artistry. So kind of tell me, like, how did you kind of get into that? And how many tattoos do you even have currently?
Yeah, I've definitely lost count. it started in college. My best friend at college also was into tattoos. And so we would kind of be like, hey, I'm thinking about getting this. And the other one would just be like, yeah, go for it. So we kind of just egged each other on quite a lot in college. And yeah, I guess it just sort of spiraled from there. But I haven't actually had a tattoo for probably like 10 years or something now. I'm definitely done. I don't need any more. But yeah, it was a cool phase of my life. None of them really have any real meaning. Most of them are done by female artists. And I did sort of stick with the same artist for a few tattoos each time. So a lot of them are done by the same people.
Okay. I think that's really just interesting, because I just think it's such an art form, like just those who are so talented at being able to do the designs, to draw it, and to just put art on somebody. Like it takes a lot of skill and talent.
Yeah, I guess that was always the main focus for me, was just finding an artist who I like their work, and then just sort of letting them do their thing rather than having like a really rigid idea of exactly what I wanted, and forcing an artist to do something that maybe wasn't in their skill set. So it works out well for me to kind of have that approach.
Okay. Is there a tattoo that you get asked about the most?
Yes, I have one on my left bicep that says Meat Easy. which raises some eyebrows. But it's actually the name of a burger place that I used to work for, which I then got fired for a few months later.
You got fired for the tattoo?
No. So it was like a very independent, very cool dive bar. They'd taken a lot of inspiration from America. Like the owner used to go to Burning Man a lot and that kind of thing. So he was very crazy, and we were changing premises. So he was like, you can't be bothered to move stock. So let's just have a big party. Let's drink the bar dry, and then we'll start afresh at the new premises. So when we showed up to this closing party, he had hired the local tattoo studio to set up at the bar, and he'd just given them a big pile of cash and just said, anyone that wants a tattoo, let them have it. So I got a tattoo. But then, yeah, they kind of got investors involved and tried to expand and do things a bit more properly, and the new management didn't like me, so yeah, they fired me.
Oh. Well, you were too good for that spot, so on the bigger and better.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I'm curious, because I know also when it comes to your content, you got the femdom, you have the humiliation, but you even have like the ass worship and the like pegging. So how has that kind of grown for you in that popularity?
Yeah. So I guess I just get a lot of people wanting to worship my ass. And it's surprisingly like quite a versatile topic. Like, you can wear like gym wear or latex or leather. Like, there's different kind of ways you can take it. You know, you can be sweaty or, yeah, like it's a fun one. And I love to twerk as well, so that's fun. So yeah, I love filming those sorts of videos. And then, yeah, the pegging. I don't really remember when I first started doing it. But yeah, again, I just get lots of guys that are very keen for me to peg them. And I enjoy doing it, like, it's good fun. So yeah, done quite a few videos now,
I think it's interesting because a lot of times, whether like what you said about ass worship, you think like, oh, well, there's, you know, it sounds pretty basic, like it's self-explanatory, so there's not, well, how much can you do of that? But like you said, like, for, and not just that, but for a lot of different fetishes, there's so much you can do within, you know, if, like, that you don't think about, or people on the outside don't think about. But it, like, you're right, there is so many, whether it's like, you know, wearing spandex or lingerie or being in thong or oil or just different gym wear, so many different things you can do with it.
Yeah, and then you've got like the smothering as well, and the suffocation, if you want to go that for the
right.
Oh, I don't know if your connection's gone there.
Can you hear me?
I can, yep.
Okay. No, and I think, so it's interesting because you said that you like to twerk.
Yes.
And I find it interesting because I have, you know, different friends of mine who aren't even in this like industry or don't know, you know, anything but about this. But just like, I kind of like always, like, I know there's levels to twerking, but then talking to like friends of mine, and I'm like, oh, like, and they're like, no, like, a lot of them, like, I don't know how to twerk. Like, it's, so how much of it is like a skill, like, in learning how to twerk?
Yeah, it definitely takes some practice. There's definitely technique involved. It's definitely, for me, it definitely isn't a natural thing. Like, it definitely was something that I had to work at. But the city I live in, there's like twerk fit classes now, where it's like an exercise class that you can go and, so it's quite a mainstream thing now, really.
It is. I think it's as a guy who's a big fan of the booty, I think it's really cool. Like, I really do. And for me, as a fan of, like, you know, ass worship videos, I think that's always like such a key when like the person can twerk, like, it takes it over the edge.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I think now I know it, but I kind of wonder if you don't mind explaining for the audience your nickname, like the Queen of Spades.
Right. Okay, it's a bit controversial, so I'm sure I'll get some hate for discussing it. I'm always a little bit nervous too. It's quite an interesting one. But yeah, it means that I am only attracted to black men, and I choose to only have sex with black men. All of my videos for like the last 7 years have just been with black guys, apart from one scene for Brazzers, which I couldn't turn down, or didn't want to turn down, should I say. And for me, it's just, that's the definition for me, I guess.
No. So like the controversy has just been for the title or for just the fact that
So a little bit of both. Obviously, I'm very aware that the word spade is a racial slur. So a lot of people have an issue with that. I would like to highlight that it is a commonly used phrase. I didn't coin it. Like it's a term that's out there. But also, certainly during the lockdown, I got a lot of comments about fetishizing black men, which isn't the case at all. Like it is my genuine preference. I a lot of people call me racist for it. Less so now, but yeah, certainly I have experienced quite large hates in the past.
No, it's because I'm, being I'm a black man, so as a fan of like, of the industry, but also just aware of those things, like I think it's there is, it's tricky, like where it's a tough thing to like navigate, but of trying to, there are people like yourself, like everyone has preferences, and there is like, it's good to clear out preferences versus fetishizing. Like it is good like to make the difference, So I kind of, that's why I was surprised. Oh, I don't know if that has anything to do with your most popular videos, because I was expecting the interracial like to be your most popular, like the cuckolding, but with the
So in the comparison videos, it is a hung black guy that's being compared to a small penis white guy. There is that kind of interracial element to those videos.
No, absolutely. I know it's not always easy to talk about, but I definitely wanted to, give you that form, that chance to kind of clear it up so people,
I
hear where
mean, for
you're coming from.
me, all of the guys I work with, are very consenting in being in my videos, and they find it offensive that people are offended by me because it's almost as if they don't have any autonomy, I force them to work with me or that kind of thing. And then also, I just get a lot of fans that just really like because it would be quite easy for me to just not specify race, but I just have so many fans that just really like that. I'm not being very eloquent here at all.
No, it's
It's important to them. I this is gonna sound really bad, but I genuinely don't think I could watch white people having sex. Just to me, it's not appealing to watch. It just has zero appeal to me. So it would be important to me to be able to use keywords to find the kind of porn I was looking for. So when you
Right,
take
okay.
away those kind of labels, it makes it tricky. That's my take on it anyway.
No, that's fair enough. I understand. No, so you mentioned, I was going to ask you, how was it doing that first scene with Brazzers, like how did that come about? And that's a really big deal. And again, congrats on that. But how was it for you? Like, how was that experience?
Yeah, so they approached me and they were very keen to do a cuckolding storyline. And it was only because of that that I agreed to it, because I'm really into cuckolding, and to be able to put a sort of cuckolding storyline out there into sort of mainstream porn, I was very keen to kind of use that platform to kind of put that kind of porn out there. That's why I took it. But yeah, it's great. They're obviously a very professional company, and you know, being on set for them is fantastic. But yeah, I did get a few messages on Twitter being like, "You had sex with a white guy," and I'm like, "Yes, I did." But it was a cuckolding video, and it was Brazzers. So,
so was that? Was that like? Was it hard to kind of like block that out and just be like, "All right, like, just it's a job, whatever." Or because, I mean, just, you know, saying it's kind of hard to watch like two white people having sex, so like, was that a challenge for you in a way?
Or yeah, like, it was very much a performance for me. Like, there was no genuine I don't know how well that scene did anyway, but it's just gonna tank now that I'm just like, yeah, I'm still going through the motions.
No.
But yeah, like, it was very much just a job that day that. Yeah, my co performer was absolutely not my type in any way. Bless him, lovely guy, but not my type.
Does and so I always wonder, is how big of a factor is that? Like, take out, like, you know, obviously you want the person to be, you know, clean and hygienic, and the person to be like respectful, like that's you know, universal. But how much does that affect? Like, I don't know how, you know, if you talk to like anybody else in the industry about it, but like, do you have to have a strong attraction, or is it just like, hey, as long as they're respectful and clean, like, it's cool? Or like, how much does like attraction factor into like the performance for you?
For me, I think because I started off with studio porn, where I didn't have any say in who I was going to be on set with, I guess I just learned that, yeah, you just appreciate that they're clean and they're polite and they're just on the same page as you, and they just want to make a good scene and just make things go as smoothly as possible. I guess I just learnt those skills from doing the studio stuff. But then that was kind of nice when I started doing my own content, because then I did have more autonomy and I was able to pick. I'd shoot with guys that I was genuinely into or found attractive, and could film the types of videos that I wanted to film rather than what a studio was telling me I had to do.
Right. Okay. No, so because I always just kind of wonder, like, just how that goes, and just, do you have to be into, like, and
lots
like it
lube.
Is
lots of lube.
Yes. Lots of lube. Oh, that's good. That's awesome. Okay, so lots of lube. So is that, I just kind of picture, like, do you, like, just in case, like, when you on set, like, you have like just an extra, like, just in case, like, just like a bag just for lube.
I always, yeah, this is what I always find kind of funny, because for some reason there's some kind of like taboo around lube, and like most sets that I was ever on, like, you weren't allowed the lube to be in the shots. Like, it always had to be just outside of the shot. So, or it'd just be like tucked behind a cushion, or just behind a
really?
Sofa or something. Yeah, I'm hoping it's changing now, and like using lube has been normalized somewhat. But yeah, certainly it always had to be kept just off of out of shot. But yeah, it was always just in reach for when you needed it.
Okay, so yeah, I think I probably, like, because now so many people are creating their own content, so it's probably, then it's like you're picking, so then it's you're gonna, obviously you'll go to someone you're more attracted with, you know, stuff. It's easy to choose that now with people just, you know, having more control.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is great.
Yes, definitely.
So something I'm always fascinated about is when I see different, like, performers and, you know, sometimes you see performer, they have, like, repeat people they work with. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, like, you see, like, the chemistry and then, like, wow. So, like, for you, for the people you work with repeatedly or even someone new, what would you say is something that, like, that's like, wow, like, so-and-so has, like, this that makes that great chemistry on camera? Like, what do you look for to help create, like, that great chemistry?
So for me, it's just, like, their ability to read me without me having to explicitly tell them. All of my favorite scenes have been with guys that, like, know if they're going too deep and will automatically adjust or change a position or to switch things up so that they know that I'm having a good time. Whereas you know, you're on set with some guys that just want to go as hard and as fast as they possibly can and have no regard for your comfort whatsoever. And so I wouldn't work with those types of guys again. I think just, again, respect goes a long way. Just kind of a mutual respect, I guess, goes a long way.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So it's really, because obviously people, you know, you guys talk about what are the do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
Like before, you know, you guys start shooting, but it's still, someone may be in the line of following like your do's and don'ts, but still they're just not, I guess, paying attention to you is the words, or focusing on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that's probably that, like, a performer who's really just, they're all about making themselves look good, you would say, than making the video look good.
Yeah. I think it's still very possible to make a very good looking video whilst considering, but yeah, some people are very, very focused on just making a very high energy video and with no regard for anything else. Yeah.
No, that's fascinating. So is it, because it's just always, because there's sometimes, like, getting to talk to people, like, I'll be like, oh, that video, like, you know, that I'm thinking that video, it might be their most popular one. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, the chemistry was amazing. And then, like, even sometimes on air, but definitely off air, they'll be like, oh, that was, like, yeah, it's popular, but that wasn't the one. It was this other one that is nowhere nearly that popular, but that was like the hottest one for me. And I'm like, oh, it's just fascinating. Like, you never know with somebody.
Yeah. So for me, I've shot a few times with DFW Knight, and he's very sensual and very sexy and very much about lots of foreplay and very skilled. But the videos don't really sell because it's very slow and it's not about the angles and the action and the but for me they're the most enjoyable videos, but yeah, they don't sell as well. I guess they don't capture people's imagination in quite the same way.
Right. So and that's more like, that's for DFW Knight, those are like, that's his style, right? Those are his, how he does his videos.
Yeah.
Which I guess isn't, like, so he's kind of niche in his own way by doing that, right?
Yeah. I guess he doesn't really have a huge ego like some guys. He doesn't feel the need to show off or whatever. He's got a fantastically huge dick and knows how to use it. And yeah, it's very charming and very respectful and yeah.
No, because I think always, but definitely even, you know, and for those listening, you've probably heard me say this before, so forgive me, but I've just gotten more and more in the past few years fascinated on that balance of, you know, in artistry, you know, doing your passion project that maybe won't, that will hit a niche audience, or doing something that you're kind of going for, quote unquote, more mainstream, and how to, like, balance that out and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think for me, it's important to me to be doing content that I genuinely enjoy and relate to, I think I'd find it very tiring having to fake something. So yeah, for me, I would always pick a niche that I'm very into rather than trying to please the masses with something that I'd have to be forcing somewhat.
No, absolutely, absolutely. So do you have, and not just, I know what your popular videos are, but for you, like, is there a certain, like, video, a couple of, like, shoots you've done that, like, they stick out, like, they were just, like, the chemistry, you were, like, you walked away going, like, whoa, like, that was hot even for me. I'm a veteran in this industry, but that was something else.
I have to say, I've had a lot of good.
We're here for it, so you can name as many as you want.
I have to say, the American guys generally take the edge over the UK guys. I do enjoy the scenes I do in the States. There's one guy in the UK that I've just started working with called the Shadow Dimitri, and he's fantastic. And another new guy called Slick Rick the Alpha. He very much gets the niche that I'm into. So those two, I think people should keep their eye on. I have a lot of time for both of those. And then, yeah, in America, obviously, I just mentioned DFW Knight, who's fantastic. Damien Daisky surprised me because he's quite young, he's very young. but yeah, he very pleasantly surprised me. Big Trey in the States as well. I've shot with him quite a bit. He's also fantastic. Yeah, there's many I could go on.
Okay. No, that's awesome. That's awesome because it's always fun to see or hear when, like, you kind of get lost in a shoot and then it's like the cameras are done rolling and you're still like, oh, well, the shoot's over for y'all, but we're still going. Like, it's just that passion is just, it's just there. And I think, like, there's that difference.
Yeah.
So now, is there types of content that you're kind of getting interested in that you haven't tried yet that you're kind of maybe going to look to, like, explore more of?
Oh, that's a very good question. I don't know, because I already cover, like, quite a few niches. I don't want to, like, spread myself too thin. So I think mostly I just want to kind of almost buckle down even more on the ones I already do and just make sure that I'm doing them as well as I can be, really.
Okay. So within their, with your niches, like, is there some ideas, like, oh, like, whether it be like the ass worship or any one of them, or, you know, the foot fed, like, they're like, oh, like, I have an idea. I want to try this within that, like something that you're like kind of interested in.
So there is something I want to try this year that I am in the process of lining up. So at the moment I do quite a lot of femdom videos, but they're sort of mostly like JOI, sort of just me to camera. But I think it would be really interesting to bring in an interracial element to that. So me and a black guy both dominating a submissive white guy. I think that could be quite interesting. I haven't really done that yet, but there's a couple of guys that have been speaking to me that would be really keen to shoot that kind of content with me. So yeah, I think that could be quite interesting.
No, absolutely. I think so. So it's because it's always, you know, trying to continue to master, like, what you're doing, but also always trying to, like, look to evolve and do things different. So it's always cool to hear people, like, you know, spitballing their ideas of what they're looking to try or what they're kind of interested in, you know, because it's cool. Like, And a question I also have is there like where, what would you say when it comes to creating content, like kind of helps you to like find inspiration to trying different things or trying a different look or whatever? Like where would you say a lot of your inspiration comes from?
Honestly, the DMs I get from guys, like I have a notes thing on my laptop. So when someone DMs me with like, because they're obviously always looking to sext or compliment me on something or whatever. So if like I'm getting a lot of compliments on a certain video, I'm like, okay, cool, I should try doing that this way next time. Or if someone's like come up with this elaborate sexting storyline, then you know, sometimes I just take little lines out of that like kind of resonate with me, and I kind of expand on that. That's generally where most of my inspiration comes from.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. So yeah, and it kind of, you kill two birds with one stone, because you're having, you know, to help create these ideas, and you're brainstorming, but also you're appealing to your fan base too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just really cool. So I always like to kind of know, like, or ask about when, what helps you to kind of, cause you know, being a business owner and creating all this content, like it's that freedom and it's what you love, but it still is a lot of hats you're wearing. It can be tiring. So yes. What kind of helps you to balance and like, you know, that try to have that work life balance?
Yeah, so for me, it's been quite important to kind of set like a quite rigid routine for myself. I have a dog, so
what kind of dog?
A Doberman.
Oh,
18 months old, so he's still quite young. Yeah, he wakes me up every morning at like 7 a.m. and I take him out for a walk. So that's quite just a nice way to start the day. I found it quite important to like try and learn. So I'll listen to like an audiobook or something whilst I'm having my breakfast. And then I like to work out, and then I'll come up to the office and start work then. It's quite easy to get quite lost in that for quite a long time. So it's actually been really good getting a dog, because he'll like distract me, or I'll need to take him out for another walk or something. I guess also my friends and family are always supportive about my work and stuff. So like, it's not a big deal just to text my friend and go around for a glass of wine or something like that once I've finished responding to DMs and stuff, and you know, chat about the day with her, and she won't be weirded out by it or anything. So I guess that helps as well. Just routine and having people around me that support me, I guess, is the best way.
Yeah, no, that's all. And I'm a big dog guy too. I love dogs. So that's really awesome. And they do kind of, in their own ways, I think without even trying to, sometimes they help you. If you know, you're struggling to get motivated, to get moving, they can be a help with that. Or when you're just staying stuck in something, and you know, you see your dog comes over to you, and it's time for a walk, or time to, you know, for them to go outside for, you know, go to the bathroom. But okay, and you got a Doberman, which is, that's awesome. Big dog.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
So you also, I was wondering, because I, you know, doing the research and everything, you're a wine connoisseur, you used to do long distance triathlons, which are, I mean, that's, I give you so much props, because I could never even dream of doing that. So how did you kind of get into both of those, from like, loving wine, but also being this like awesome athlete?
Yeah, I guess I really like understanding things. So with the wine, I could just see that there was a lot to understand with the grape varieties and the countries and the regions and how that affects things. So I kind of wanted to understand that better. And so I sort of did the level one course, and really enjoyed that. And so then did level two, and I've actually just booked on to do the level three in a few months' time, which is like quite a serious level then, that would sort of make me a qualified sommelier if I pass the course. So
that's okay.
I just love learning, and I like understanding things, and I love wine, so it goes well together. And then the triathlon, it's kind of funny because I really wasn't into any kind of sport at school. And then I got into running in my early 20s, and then I started dating a guy that was into cycling, and so we were just like, oh, well, let's just do triathlon then, because it's cycling and running and swimming. So yeah, we kind of got into it together. And then yeah, I just sort of seemed to really get into it and was doing sort of half Ironman distance triathlons
Yeah,
and crazy
I
stuff.
no, I love this because triathlon is maybe like the hardest thing you can do in the world of sports. And I love how you were just like, I'm running. The guy I was dating was cycling. So let's just you break it down so like just like it's like changing shoes. Like let's just start doing triathlons and Ironmans and things that the best athletes in the world struggle to do. Let's just go for it, okay? Like I just love how you just casually say that. I'm just sitting here going, what? Like,
Logical.
yeah. You're just like, oh, you have a bike. I like to run, so we'll just do it. No, that's which is it's awesome, but and I think sometimes I can, which is good, I can be an overthinker. So like a lot of times for things like that is kind of what you have to do. You just kind of have to go just do it. Like you have to go try it and not overthink. You can overthink yourself out of trying it.
Yeah, definitely.
But that is awesome. When was the last triathlon marathon that you did, or triathlon
Yeah,
event
I
that you
haven't
did?
done any for a while. Oh, I don't know, maybe like 5 years now. I still get on the bike and I still run, and I occasionally go through little phases of doing some swimming, but yeah, I haven't signed up to a triathlon for a little while.
Okay, and for the wine, is are you like reds or whites? Which one do you either
No.
preference?
So when I first got into wine, I was very much into reds. And then I sort of just discovered that the whites I was having were just not good whites. And there were actually some fantastic ones out there. And just, yeah, the more I've learned, the more I know what I do and don't like. And yeah, I like red and white.
Is there a favorite type? Like if for someone wants to impress Adrena and they know, all right, she loves wine, but you they can only get you one bottle of like wine. What type
Yeah,
of
I
wine
guess
would
I'm
it
very
be?
much very cliched sort of millennial. I'm very into my Pinot Noirs at the moment, which is like quite a light red wine. It's not as heavy as like a Cabernet Sauvignon or a Merlot or something like that, which is, I guess, what people generally associate with red wine. And then white wine. It's a bit old-fashioned, but I really like Chardonnay. But that can really vary. Like that's a whole spectrum of wine there. We don't get a lot of sun here, but if I'm in Spain or something like that, and there's some sun, I really like an Albariño, which is a Spanish grape variety, which is delicious. But yeah, those would be my top three, probably.
Okay. That's really cool. That's interesting. That's interesting. That's awesome. I think it's cool to having those different, I mean, and those are two on the extreme. But having those different passions and hobbies, it's awesome.
Yes.
It's so this has been just great talking with you. What for those listening, what are some things that they can look for coming up soon for you? Is there any videos dropping or anything new content that's going to
Yeah,
be
so we
coming out
just
soon?
dropped a video. Well, it's yesterday when we're recording this. I don't know when you'll release this. But I just dropped a gangbang video yesterday with me and four guys, which is the first gangbang I've done in a really long time, so I was very excited to release that one this week.
Cool.
I was just speaking to someone that literally choked whilst they were watching the trailer, so
Yeah, I guess so. That's instant gratification right there. That's yeah.
But I also have my own podcast, so I'm releasing currently monthly episodes of that. It's called The Size Queen Society. So yeah,
how long has that been going on?
4 months. So I've released 4 episodes so far. I would like to grow it a bit more and maybe do bi-weekly or maybe even weekly updates towards the end of this year or later this year. But yeah, that's been fun. I'm enjoying putting that out. But yeah, it's still very, very early days. I've got a lot to learn from for doing intros and outros and all that kind of professional kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's fun to do, but it's definitely, you said, it's learning. It's okay. Yeah, I'm always learning.
Yeah.
Okay, but you do like it. Like, it is. It's fun for you.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's been really good fun so far.
Okay, and on there, you just, is it talking just about like yourself? Do you have guests? How is that?
Yeah, so I have guests. Generally speaking, so far it's been fellow size queens. So yeah, we just sort of discuss our preferences and experiences, and yeah, it's going quite well. I just released an episode this month where I had a guy on the show because I thought it'd be interesting to get kind of his perspective, and I'm kind of interested in maybe getting women that aren't into, or at least claim not to be into, to big dick, and sort of just get their perspective. And
yeah, let me ask you. Okay, this is great, because you said claim, and I'll be honest, I always think that too when I hear people, women say, like, it doesn't really matter the size. Like, I'm not here to call anyone a liar, but I'm like, really? That's contrary to what I hear so much. Is that true or not?
I wouldn't go as far to say that they're lying, but maybe they just haven't had the right experiences.
Okay.
And I think women also feel obligated to protect men's egos for some reason, and don't want to hurt the smaller guy's feelings. I don't know. I have no problem with that at all.
No.
But yeah, I just find it quite an interesting topic, and it turns out there's quite a lot to discuss on it. So I've managed to make a whole podcast.
So I have a question for you, and if it's a little weird, forgive me, we'll edit it out. Okay. But I thought, right, that it was kind of known, like, amongst, like, obviously, like, consenting adults who are having sex, sexually active, about when it comes to, that they knew about, you know, the term grower, not a shower.
Yeah.
But I've met some women, like, over the past, like, few years, who, friends of mine, who were, like, perplexed and, like, never heard that and didn't know what that was. And I go, oh, man. And I'm like, then you could have, like, who knows? Like, you might have turned away somebody. So, like, I always, like, wonder, have you ever, like, how common is that, like, for you to see? Is that even common in the industry, too?
Yeah, so interestingly, Shadow Dimitri, who I mentioned earlier, and he was the guy I had on my podcast this month, he is very much a grower, not a shower, which, having interviewed him, I think he actually quite likes, because he kind of has the perks of it not being particularly hard to contain in, like, day-to-day activities. But then when it comes to showtime, people are sometimes a little bit underwhelmed. And then he's like, surprise! and it can exceed everyone's expectations. So, I found that quite interesting. But, yeah, it's something I've been aware of for quite some time. It's definitely a thing.
Yeah, Do you have any stories of someone surprising you, like, where you're like, oh, man, and then, like, you get, like, a pleasant surprise, I guess you would say?
Not unexpectedly, no. Only ones that then didn't grow, and I'm like, oh, dear, no.
Well, I always wonder, because, like, your preference size is, like, pretty, it's bigger, would you say it's bigger than the average?
Yeah, so the average is, like, just over 5 inches, and my preference would be 8 inches, so.
So is it kind of hard to kind of not just have constantly showers when you, at a certain level?
I guess so. There are definitely a few exceptions, but yeah, I guess mostly they would be at that kind of point, generally.
No, that's interesting. I think I because I didn't know you had the I've read your blogs about the topic, but I didn't know you had a podcast. That's awesome. That's really cool too.
Yes, I'm jumping on that bandwagon along with the. But yeah, we'll see. That's kind of why I'm only doing one a month, because I don't want to like overcommit. I would like it to take off and like do well, so I don't want to set too crazy expectations too soon. But yeah, I hope it's something I can build on.
That's smart. That's a smart thing to do.
Thank you.
That's smart. That kind of burns out a lot of. I've fought that myself over the past few years. You can definitely take it on too much, and then you love it, but then you just so many other commitments you burn out. So that's really cool, and I'm excited to listen.
Thank you. Yes, you should definitely check it out. It's quite entertaining, mostly.
Yes. Oh, okay. So you got it all coming. So with new content, you're getting back into the gangbang scene, and then dropping a podcast episode and kind of helping ladies, you know, learn about sizes or be comfortable talking about sizes. Because
yeah.
I think you're right. I think people just aren't comfortable. They don't want to hurt someone's feelings or sound like shallow, but it's just being honest.
Yeah.
No. So this has been just awesome talking with you. I know it's been, we've had things come up in communication, but I'm just glad we've been able to make it happen, because it's been just great chatting with you.
And thank you for your questions. Like, they've been quite unique. Like, sometimes I get a lot of the same sort of questions. So, this one's been, it's been fun speaking to you.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. So, for the amazing Adrena Winters, I'm D-Rock. Thank you guys for listening to After Hours Sessions podcast. Take care.